मध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादम् शङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः।
वेदो नित्यमधीयताम् तदुदितम्
कर्मस्वनुष्ठीयताम्
तेनेशस्य विधीयतामपचितिः काम्ये मतिस्त्यज्यताम्
पापौघः परिधूयताम् भव सुखे
दोषोऽनुसन्धीयताम्
आत्मेच्छाव्यवसीयताम् निजगृहात्
पूर्णम् विनिर्गम्यताम् सङ्गः सत्सु विधीयताम् भगवतो
भक्तिर्दृढाधीयताम्
शान्त्यादिः परिचीयताम् दृढतरम्
कर्मासु सन्त्यज्यताम्
सद्विद्वानुपसृप्यताम् प्रतिदिनम्
तत्पादुकासेव्यताम्
ब्रह्मैकाक्षरमर्थ्यताम् श्रुतिशिरो
वाक्यम् समाकर्ण्यताम्
संगः सत्सु विधीयताम् लेटर्ली सत्संगा कंपनी ऑफ नोबल पीपल राइट पीपल spiritual people, the people who are having value for spiritual growth. Then the next suggestion was Bhagavatah Bhaktihi Dhradha Adhiyata. Let the devotion for the Lord, to the Lord, or firm devotion for the Lord be cultivated. And in that connection we are seeing various aspects of bhakti. We define bhakti from two angles. One, bhakti as an attitude, the attitude of love, respect and surrender. And another one is act of devotion. Act of devotion can mean expression of devotion or the activities meant for invoking a devotee in us or strengthening a devotee in us. And in that connection we were seeing that this type of bhakti, which is in the form of devotional activities, is divided into three types, classified into three types: Kaika, Vachika, Manasika. Kaika bhakti or kaika karma, which is a bhakti, can be in the form of puja, worshipping the Lord, doing the seva of temple, going to the temple. This is kaika. Then vachika can be in the form of chanting the sutras, chanting the names of the Lord, which is called Sankirtana, or even chanting the Japa, Namah Shivaya, Namah Shivaya, that also is Vachika. And we have seen there are three types of Japa, just in this connection. One is called Uccha Japa, other is called Manda or Upanshu, and the third is called Manasa Japa. Uccha Japa means chanting the repetition of the mantra loudly. Loudly means that much loudness that others can hear. It is not meant for others to hear. We don't chant for others to hear. But it will happen when we are chanting loudly, it will happen that others can hear. Just to classify as Uccha Japa, we say this is chanting of Japa with some loudness. And then Manda or Upamshu it is called, where our lips are moving. But others cannot hear. That is called Upamshu Japa. And Chittajam Japa is the mental chanting of the mantra, which we are trying to do in the meditation. And there it should be done in the deeper mind, as Vijay Swamiji explained other day. Deeper mind, where the mind is fully available. Otherwise what happens, we do it at the superficial level, surface level, then this our chanting of Japa may be connected to our breathing, and it happens for a very long time. If you are not aware, your chanting of the mantra will be connected to breathing or connected to the movement of your lips or tongue. And therefore we have that technique as Pujya Swamiji has given, that we lose this mental arithmetic, so that our mind is discerned. The deeper mind is discerned. This is what the deeper mind is, where the arithmetic is happening. And in the same place we put the mantra. It requires some practice. Otherwise some people get lost. I mean, it is mathematics itself, my mind is somewhere. Because some people are not that good. And fortunately, I remain alert and I make calculations such a way that you will get an integral figure. Otherwise, suppose you point you to. Suppose that 69 divided by 10. Then what will you do? I think so far I have not given any figure which a fraction is answered. Has it come any time?
No.
I have to be alert. I have to give the sum and also I have to remember. I myself have to do it. I tell you, conducting meditation is very such a like anesthesia. In anesthesia what happens? That consciousness should go at the same time, fellow should not go up also. Should not be finished. Our anesthesist knows. Anesthesia specialist, they know. They have to bring them to an area where he loses the consciousness at the same time doesn't die. So similarly, when conducting meditation, I myself have to have some meditative condition. At the same time, I become too meditative, I cannot conduct meditation. I will be absorbed in that. So very like anesthesia, you have to give in such a way that little bit meditative, little bit active also. So anyway, when you become teachers, you will learn. So mental arithmetic, we do it. The purpose is that we discern the deeper mind, and at that place we put the mantra. And I tell you, the difference will be so much. Those who have experienced that, if you are doing at the surface mind and if you do in the deeper mind, so much difference is there in the quality. Your absorption, your concentration will be so much. The possibility of distraction will be very less. And that is Manasa Japa. Uccha, Manda, Upamshu, Manasa. And it is said in Shastra that the latter is better, is more efficacious. Compared to Uccha Japa, Upamshu gives more punyam. Compared to Upamshu, Manasa Japa gives more punyam. As I told you, compared to tricycle, bicycle requires little more skill. Compared to bicycle, monocycle requires more skill. More skill you have, more you will be rewarded. Uccha, Upamshu and Manasa Japa. Of these three, Uccha, mainly Uccha Japa is for Vachika Karma. Upamshu also we can put under that because Vacha is used. But it is something in between. Alright. Then we were talking about purely Manasa Karma, which is called Upasana. The word Upasana has got two parts, Upa and Asanam or Asana. Upasanam is a neutral gender, Upasana feminine gender. But both of them have got the same meaning. No difference. Upa Asanam or Upa Asana. Both have same meaning. Upa means near. Asana means remaining. Sitting, remaining. To understand this particular idea contained in these two words, Upa and Asana, we have to understand three words. Like Satya Sadhana, here also three words we have to understand. The person who is doing meditation is called Upasaka, meditator. The object of meditation is for upasya, and the meditation itself is called upasana. Now, in the word upasanam, upa is indicating objectification of the object of meditation. Going near the object of meditation is indicated by the word upa. In upasanam, upa means near. Near means objectifying, going near the object of meditation. Means what? Suppose I want to meditate on Dakshinamurti. So first, bringing Dakshinamurti form to my mind, this is called objectification of upasya, and this is indicated by the word upa. So upa means going near the object of meditation. Going near upasyam is indicated by the word upa, and going near means objectifying, focusing on the object of meditation. Bhagavan Shankaracharya ji in Bhagavad Gita in the 12th chapter he defines upasana. Upasanam nama yatha shastram upasyasya arthasya visheikaranena samipyam upagamya taila dharavat samana pratyaya pravaheda dirghakala yadasanam tadupasanam ajakshate. This is a long definition. When you study 12th chapter, it will come. But out of this, what is important is upa. Upa means going near, upagamya. Going near the object of meditation. How do you go near the object of meditation? Through focusing on it. So this is upa part of upasana. Bringing the object of meditation to your mind. And then asana means retaining that focus, entertaining the flow of thoughts centered on the object of meditation. Entertaining the flow of thoughts centered on the object of meditation, that is indicated by the word asana. It is something like when you are doing video shooting. First, what you have to do? You have to focus on the person who is going to talk. Suppose we are some Pujya Swamiji's talk we are doing video. So first what we have to do? We have to focus on Pujya Swamiji. But focusing on the object of videography, that is Upa. And afterwards retaining that focus, that camera has to remain steady. That focus what has been set has to continue. That continuation of the focus is called asana. So Bhagavan Shankara says pramana pratyaya pravaha. Pravaha means flow. Pratyaya means samana means similar. A flow of similar thoughts centered on the object of meditation is indicated by the word asana. So upa means focusing on the object of meditation, and asana means remaining with the focus on the object of meditation, entertaining the flow of thoughts centered on the object of meditation. This is called upasana. In simple words, keep entertaining the flow of thoughts centered on the object of meditation is upasana. And upa indicates this preliminary step, which has to be followed by this retaining of the focus. So upasana means entertaining a flow of thoughts centered on the object of meditation. It can be any object. It can be Rama, Krishna, Shiva, whatever. Whatever form you like. Even if you don't like form, formless also. Formless, this understanding you bring to your mind and you continue. That also is one type of upasana. And here of course we are referring to Ishvara, Saguna Brahma Dhyana. And therefore some form, whether it is individual form or cosmic form, particular form or cosmic form, we bring into our mind and we continue to think about that without any distraction. That is called upasana. And we saw yesterday there are two types of upasana: Vedic upasana and also Pauranic or smart upasana. And in smart upasana also we saw that there is a Rupa Dhyanam, Guna Dhyanam, Lila Dhyanam, Vibhuti Dhyanam. So many types of Dhyanam or Upasana are there in the Shastra. And all these activities, Kayika, Vachika, Manasa, are meant for converting a spasmodic devotee into a permanent devotee. That conversion program, we have some devotion once in a while, bout of devotion, that should be converted into permanent appreciation of my connection with the Lord. Converting myself to be a permanent devotee, from probation to permanent, we become permanent devotee. And permanent devotee means whatever I do, I remain aware of my connection to the Lord. And remaining aware of my connection to the Lord is called bhakti. So bhakti means relating to Ishvara, being aware of my connection to Ishvara. And that happens when person does this type of activities for some length of time. Now, after having this devotion and devotional activities for some length of time, then sadhaka, the seeker, is advised the next step, and that is shantyadi parichiyata. Shanti adi, shantyadi parichiyata. Parichiyata means should be practiced. Let shanti etc., the mind control etc., the mastery over the mind etc., be practiced. Parichiyata means should be practiced, or let it be practiced. What is to be practiced? Shantyadihi. Shantyadi is a compound. It has got two parts, Shanti and Adi. Shanti is the same as what we had studied, Shamaha. If you remember Tattva Bodha, long time back here, we have studied Shamaha. In which topic Shama comes?
Adhikarya.
Which, what is the number of Shama?
3, 1, 3.
Third qualification. Third qualification, which is a group of 6 sub-qualifications. Shama, then?
Shama.
Here, those qualities are repetitive. See, Viveka and Vairagya have already been covered. Viveka was covered when it was said, Bhavasuke Doshonu Sandhiyatam. See the limitations. And also, Vairagya is indicated there. But see the limitations. And therefore, naturally, be away from that. And Kamye Matis Tyajyatam also, Vairagya was indicated. So, Bhavasuke Doshonu Sandhiyatam, there Viveka Vairagya have been taught. Here, the third qualification, Shamadamadi, is taught. Shamaha, we have already seen, the mastery over the mind. The mastery over the mind means the mastery over my emotions. Which Swamiji says, emotional maturity is nothing but raga dvesha management. I should be able to manage my raga dvesha. We don't say that raga dvesha should completely go away to attain jnana. We don't expect that. Raga dvesha should be very well managed by you. They should not manage you. You should be able to manage your raga dvesha. Like, our class time is at 4:30, 4:20, we have to start. And that time some call comes, some dear one comes to call. We feel like talking. So after a very long time, that person is calling. Very juicy, what is called, dialogue is happening. I should be able to say, okay, I'll call you later. Managing that. I am supposed to sit by the side of somebody whom I hate. I don't like. Various reasons. But during the class, that person should not disturb me mentally. It is not his response. Swami, you tell him, he should not disturb you. You should manage your raga dvesha in such a way that that person doesn't disturb. Otherwise, every now and then you look at the person. What is it? See, this is a funny thing, that we don't think only about the objects we like. We think about the objects we don't like also. In fact, sometimes we think more about them. Whom we hate, they again and again they come. Sometimes the force of the hatred is much more than the force of these likes, attachment. So I should be able to maintain my raga dveshas. But manage the raga dveshas, not maintain. Manage the raga dvesha. Managing raga dvesha also can be called shamaha, emotional maturity. And also we are seeing shamaha means making the mind such that it is available as and when required. Availability of the mind. Means now it is a class time, so I should be able to think about the class only. During the class we should not say, this lady is wearing this design, or this fellow is wearing this shirt, this, and now what is the fashion, which, and all this, that time thought should not come. Or this fellow is sleeping. Why is he sleeping? I think he must have been awake till late night. Why should I think? That person in arms is sleeping. I tell you, some people have this type of mentality. Even though it is not their duty to see who is doing wrong thing, they will see. Swamiji, that person is not coming, this person is not doing. that keep us, watch keepers. Avoid that. Especially as a sadhaka, avoid. We acharyas have to do this, even we don't like to do it. We also, we sometimes few days we told, and afterwards we are so slowly, like, you know, paddling soft on that. So, we mind our business. Our mind is available for the job to be done. If you can have this ability, then you have shamaha. It is not that mind should not think all the time, should be very quiet and all, it's not necessary. Suppose from here to your room you are going and mind is thinking about so many other things, doesn't matter. Like children also should be allowed to play. Isn't it? All the time they study, then what child will do? So children also should be allowed to play. Similarly, mind wants to wander sometimes, let it wander. In safe time, suppose you are going for a walk and it is wandering. Alright. But it should not wander so much that the traffic also you forget. The vehicle is honking and you don't hear. Not that much. But suppose you are walking and little bit wandering, doesn't matter. Especially initial state, it is fine. But as and when required, it is available. That is shamaha. And for that, we require this emotional maturity, where we can take care of our reactions, likes and dislikes. Why did he say like this? Why didn't he say like that? He has no business to say like this. All those things we can reduce. We learn to mind our business. This is shamaha. And if there are reactions, then we learn to handle. We don't suppress them. We process them. First of all, as we had seen, we acknowledge them. That yes, I have this problem of anger. I have this problem of jealousy. I have this problem of controlling mentality. Acknowledge it. Don't say, I am angry person. That is a judgment. I have problem of anger once in a while. Sometimes I do have problem of anger, especially in this particular area. Acknowledge. Many people have this problem of denial. No, I don't have something. I don't have jealousy for anybody. We catch them every now and then in their expression they have jealousy, but they will say, no jealousy. You can say, yeah, at times there is jealousy. What is jealousy? If you want to know what is jealousy, so that you will be able to accept, jealousy is parasya utkarsham drashtva jayamanaha santapaha. Santapaha means this burning sensation. Pain. When parasya utkarsham drashtva, having seen the excellence of others, seeing somebody is doing better, parasya, other person, the pain on seeing somebody doing better is called jealousy. And I tell you that other person is somebody whom we consider equal to us. See, none of us will have jealousy of Pujya Swamiji. Shall we have jealousy? I don't think we have jealousy of Pujya Swamiji. Because we don't consider ourselves to be equivalent to him. See how Pujya Swamiji Aram says, how nicely he talks, I can't talk like him. No. Why? Because we don't consider ourselves to be equal. And we may not have jealousy for our acharyas also. I mean, unless you consider yourself to be equivalent one. Then externally we don't have, because we think they are acharya, they have been teaching for so many times, years and all this. So we have put them. We'll have jealousy for whom? Somebody whom we consider equivalent to us. And how come that person got it? I didn't get it. This jealousy. It's a funny thing, we can have jealousy for our near and dear ones also. It is not that the person whom you hate, for that person only jealousy. Spouse have got jealousies. Husband has jealousy for the wife, wife has jealousy sometimes for the husband. In fact, husband having jealousy for wife is very, very often. Because wife in Indian setup, I don't know in the Western setup, but in Indian setup, wife generally accepts that her husband will be little bit superior to her. Somehow Indian setup is, right or wrong, it is setup. It is how it is. But sometimes, you know, his wife gets more recognition because she is a great singer and this fellow doesn't know even how to do tabla. And therefore he has to be just a tag on her. And that's very, in fact, he is introduced. He is the husband of Mrs. So and so. Very, very humiliating. In fact, I know in Bangalore we had somebody like that. So he said he is Mr. Janki of ours. So it's very humiliating. Irsha. When I see somebody is getting more recognition, more benefits, more objects, jealousy. And you know, we have jealousy only in the area where we have some value. Suppose you don't have value for having more prasadam. Then somebody getting more prasadam, you don't have jealousy. Why? Because you don't care for more prasadam. Somebody getting more flowers, suppose. You, some of you get this, what is called, garland you get. We don't have, we men don't have jealousy. Oh, these ladies are all the time getting garland. We don't get that. So we don't have so much value for it. So, area of jealousy is where you have some value. You don't have jealousy for something which you don't value. So, two things. We consider that person to be equivalent and also the area in which we have some value. Suppose I don't have value for money. Somebody is getting a lot of money, he doesn't create any jealousy. Why? Because I don't want to have. Even people give, I don't want to have. Very rare thing to happen, but there are people. Then he won't create jealousy. So this jealousy is one of the signs of emotional immaturity. Jealousy is showing the lack of shamaha. Means I am not able to handle my emotions. But we cannot deny this problem also. We cannot say, oh, I should not have jealousy. Therefore, this is how our mind works. I should not have jealousy, therefore I don't have jealousy. That's a wrong equation. It's a wrong karyakarana. I should not have jealousy is one thing, and I don't have jealousy is quite another thing. Just because I should not have jealousy doesn't mean I don't have jealousy. But this is how our mind works. Whatever I should not have, mind wants to see that it doesn't have. So, first of all, we acknowledge, yes, if it is there, we acknowledge. If it is not there, suppose we introspect and we find it is not there, we thank Bhagavan. So, anger, jealousy, or there is some arrogance, feeling superior, and whenever I am not respected by others, I feel humiliated, I feel hurt, manitva. All these are also sign of lack of shamaha. Shamaha means raga dvesha management. absence of reactions. This is shabha. Damaha also we have seen mastery over the sense organs. Input and output, both mastery. Input means mastery over the gnanendriyas, output indicate mastery over the karmendriyas. Shama, dama, uparama we have seen doing our duty. Titiksha means ability to accept all pairs of opposite. Dvandva sahishnutvam. Shraddha, we have seen, having trust, having pramanya buddhi in Guru and Shastra. And then samadhanam. Samadhanam has got two meanings. One is the ability to concentrate on a given subject matter without distraction, and also having the long term focus on my goal. Means I don't forget what is my goal of life. So retaining short term and long term focus is called samadhi. So when I am reading, I should be able to read. You must have seen that when you don't have concentration, you read it, nothing occurs, nothing goes into your head. Again you have to read. Again you have to read. Even newspaper you will have to read twice. So that is lack of concentration. And another thing is, as I said, that retaining the focus on long term basis. Means I retain that this is what I want. I don't get sidetracked. That is samadhanam. So all these six are suggested here. Shantyadi parichiyata. Mainly shava and dava. Then the next instruction is dhṛḍataram karmāṣu santyajyata. Dhṛḍataram means very firmly. Karma, action. Āṣu, immediately. As early as possible. As early as it is appropriate. Santyajyata should be given up. Let karma be given up firmly and immediately. Immediately means after attaining what is to be attained from karma, it should be given at the earliest possible. What is the idea conveyed here? As we have seen, we have got 5-stage program. Karma Yoga is Upasana. Karma Yoga is meant for Chitta Shuddhi, purification of the mind. Upasana is meant for Chitta Nishchaya, the steadiness of the mind. Once Karma Yoga and Upasana have served their purpose, means I have got Antakarana Shuddhi, purity, and antakarana naishchalyam, the steadiness of the mind, then I should outgrow that. Otherwise, what happens? When we do something for some length of time, we develop the attachment for that particular routine, that particular activity. There are people who have been doing sandhya vandanam for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. And when they take sannyasa, they are told that now you don't have to do sannyasa. Then now you don't have to do tarpadam. I was told that one person, when he took sannyasa, then next day he was missing that part. Oh, I can't do sannyasa. I can't do tarpadam to my pitrus. That thought comes. We get attached to something. Some routine we have, then we have to do. Some yogasana routine, then if you don't do yogasana, you will have a body ache. Some people can. And therefore here it is said, karma dhadataram, very firmly means, even though you have been doing for so many years, even though they are very deep rooted in your mind, still santyajyata. But when your commentator says atma vichara yogyata anantaram, anantaram is after attaining yogyata, fitness for the analysis of Brahman, atma. After attaining the fitness for the study of Shastra, this serious and committed study of Shastra, you give up your karma, or at least reduce your karma. Afterwards you don't have to do it. So Shastra which prescribes karma, same Shastra is giving the permission to renounce the karma. And this is the principle of sadhana. You undergo that sadhana, practice that sadhana, attain what is to be attained from that sadhana, and outgrow that sadhana. You should not be stuck with any sadhana. You attain what is to be attained and outgrow. But make sure that you have attained what is to be attained from a given sadhana. If you renounce it before it is to be renounced, then you will be a loser. So make sure that you have already attained what is to be attained from karma, what is to be attained from upasana. Some people have not even started karma and upasana, and then Swamiji would like to take sannyasa. Sannyasa of what? Sannyasa is renunciation. You are not doing any karma. What sannyasa? So first you get what is to be gained from karma and upasana, and then take sannyasa. In Bhagavad Gita this idea is very beautifully brought out. In the 6th chapter Bhagavan says, Arurukshor mune yogam karma karanam ucyate yoga rudasya tasyeva shamah karanam ucyate. Where Bhagavan says, Arurukshor mune yogam, the person who wants to climb this yoga, he wants to attain the ability to focus. The person who wants to have the purity and steadiness to meditate, for that person, karma karana mucchate. For attaining the fitness for meditation, which is in the form of the purity and steadiness of the mind, first karma is the sadhana. Karma yoga is very much required for getting chitta shuddhi. And therefore, arukshor muner yogam karma karanam ucchate. Karma is the karanam, means the sadhana. But yoga rudasya tasyeva, for the very same person, tasyeva, that person alone, when he becomes yogarudaha, when he has attained chitta shuddhi and chitta naishalyam to very great extent, then shama karanam ucchate. Then shama, the withdrawal is a sadhana. Then shamaha means withdrawal from the activities. Uparama, upashama. So in certain stage, karma is sadhanam, and in certain stage, withdrawal from the karma is sadhanam. When I have not studied anything, entering into the school is the sadhanam. And when I have finished my study in that school, coming out of the school is the sadhanam. You should not say, no, I like this school very much. I like the school teachers very much. I will stay in this school only. Enter into the school because you have to attain something which school alone can give you. But after getting what is to be gained, you get out of the school. And that is why here also it is said, shamah karanam ucchate. And when person is said to be Yoga Arudha, because it was said, Aruduksu, one who wants to climb, for them, for that person, karma is sadhana. One who is Yoga Arudha, sannyasam is sadhana. Who is Yoga Arudha? So Bhagavan Krishna specified that itself. Yadahi nendriyarteshu na karma sanu shajyate sarva sankalpa sanyasi yoga ruda sadhuja. The person who does not have any attachment for, any obsession for any sense object. Yadahi na indriyarteshu. Indriyartha means sense objects. Na karmasu. He doesn't have that. That type of kartavyata buddhi, oh, I have to do, if I don't do, who will do it? Some people have that type of thinking. It is called kartrutva sakti. Means, I have to do it. If I don't do it, who will do it? Some people get that type of thinking, over assumption of their role. So, that also one has to outdo. We should never think that we are indispensable. Anybody goes, still the world will move on. So I don't consider myself that indispensable, that things will stop without me. Never think like this. If you think like this, then you have to do karma. So here he says, person is not attached to any sense objects, person is not obsessed with this type of sense of duty that I have to do it, without me who will do it, that is not there. And sarva sankalpa sannyasi. He does not have fancy for anything. If this happens, it will be alright. If that happens, it will be alright. Means he is not after any particular setup. That if this happens, then I will have a sense of fulfillment. So, sankalpa. Sankalpa means fancy, which is the cause for desire. Fancy means what? That will be very nice. If this happens, very nice, then all problem will be solved. That is fancy. And person who is free from this fancy, sarva sankalpa sannyasi, that person is called yoga arudha. And for such a person, jadataram karmasu santyajyata. For such a person, suggestion is given that karma should be given up firmly, without any hesitation. Ashu, at the earliest possible. Whenever you got this maturity, that day itself, Tyajyatam, Santyajyatam. So here, it is said that person can take sannyasa. Earlier he had only left home, he had not taken sannyasa. Now, he is suggested that if he is mature, he has gained what is to be gained from karma and upasana, he can renounce karma formally. In Shastra we have a sannyasa vidhi. Like how it is some people who have come from abroad, they have to have an exit permit also. Not only entry permit, exit permit also. Similarly, sannyasa is like an exit permit. Now you can go out. So Shastra has told you that first entry permit, Yajna Upavita was given. This is an entry permit. Now onwards you can do karma. Entry permit. Then sannyasa is what? Exit permit. Now you can leave this country. Now you can leave this karma. So both are required. Entry permit and exit permit. So sannyasa is like exit permit. Now onwards you are given exemption from doing all the duties. Nitya karma, naimittika karma, and that is why for a sannyasi, even if his parents die, he doesn't have to take bath. Even bath he doesn't have to take. Nothing. No question of doing shraddha, etc. Nothing, no duty. Sannyasi doesn't have duty. Suppose somebody goes to his kutya, it is not his duty that he has to offer tea, coffee, etc. For a grihastha, it is a duty. Grihastha also don't offer but as a grihastha is a duty that somebody comes, he has to do it. Sannyasi may do it, but he doesn't have this injunction that he has to do it. He did not feel bad about not offering tea, coffee, etc. No duty. He doesn't have to do Sandhya Vandanam. He doesn't have to do any particular any activity. Only duty he has got is Jnana Yoga. He has to spend his time only for Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasa. If anything else he does, it is a misuse of exemption. It is something like, Swamiji, I want an exemption from this particular activity, meditation, and during meditation you go and do something else which is not conducive for moksha pursuit. It is a misuse of exemption. Or you continue to sleep during that. Anyway, I have to go only breakfast time. It's a misuse. Similarly, take sannyasa and not doing Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam is a misuse of exemption given by Sahasya. And here it is said, Dhadataram Ashu Sankirchita. Only duty he has got is Shravana Manana Nididhyasana. And this type of sannyasa, which is taken for exclusive commitment to Jnana Yoga, is for Vividisha Sannyasa. Sannyasa which is referred to here is Vividisha Sannyasa. Vividisha means Veditur Icha. The desire to know is for Vividisha. Vividisha Sannyasa means renunciation of karmas, of duties, especially scriptural duties, out of desire for knowing the truth. So renunciation of karma out of desire for knowing the truth is Vividisha Sannyasa. Means the renunciation of karma for the purpose of exclusive commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is Vividisha Sannyasa. Means nothing else is to be done, only this is to be done. After sannyasa, he starts some some hospital, etc. That is not the spirit of sannyasa. He may do, if he is already got jnanam, that nothing is now no rule for that person. But otherwise, if he is a sadhaka, vividisa sannyasi means only this. Only Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam and nothing else. But nowadays what is happening, most of the people, they are half-baked. And therefore, this karma has not really paid off. Some more karmas are required. But at the same time, there is value for this sannyasa life. And therefore they are given sannyasa and they are asked to do some karma also. Vedic karma they cannot do, and therefore some other service oriented karmas are given. But it is not the real spirit of sannyasa. Sannyasa means this and this only. Shravana Manana Nididhyasana. Sannyasa should be taken for that purpose only. Nothing else. So after renouncing all karma, including the scriptural karma, scripture based karmas, scripture based activities, he is approaching the teacher. In fact, he will be meeting the teacher and he may take sannyasa. And that is described in the next line. Sadvidvan upasruptyata. Two words are there. Sadvidvan upasruptyata. Pratididam should not be connected with this. Sadvidvan means a good knowledgeable person or a good wise person. A person of wisdom. Sat means good. Upasrupyatam means should be approached to. A good wise person should be approached means one should go to Sadguru, one should go to the teacher, one should approach the teacher. All these things he might have done with the help of satsanga and his study of his Vedas in his Gurukulavasa. But now he is approaching this Vedanta teacher. So far he had studied Vedas, means the words of Vedas, and got some general meaning of Vedas. But now he has prepared, he or she has prepared himself, herself, and now approaching the teacher. Sad Vidwan Upasrutyata. Vidwan means the one who knows. With one who knows. To know, from that Vidwan word is derived from Vid. So one who knows, Vidwan. It is not that wow, it's like Dhanavan, that is not Vidwan here. So in the Pratyaya, the what is called Vidwans of the Shabda, Vidwan, Vidwamsho, Vidwansa. So a person who knows is called Vidwan. What does he know? Sat. So Sat Vidwan means the knower of the truth. Sat means truth. So Sat Vidwan means the knower of the truth. Or Sat Vidwan means Sun Vidwan Sat Vidwan. Both ways. If you remember in Sadguru we had interpreted two ways. Sadguru word had come, no? Where did it come? Sadguru Padeshena. Vedanta Vakya Sharvanena Sadguru Padeshe Nacha Yesham Brahma Bhutti Rupanna. It comes? Alright, it's Dattva Buddha in the last topic. So there we had seen Sadguru has two meanings. Sat means good, Guru. Good Guru. Good Guru means qualified Guru. Qualified means one who knows the Sampradaya. And Sataha Guru, the teacher of Sat Tattva, means the reality. Similarly here, Sat Vidwan also, same way. One who is a good Vidwan, qualified Vidwan, qualified learned person. And another one is Sataha Vidwan. Vidwan means the knower. One who is the knower of the truth, he is called Sat Vidwan. So Sat Vidwan means a good Vidwan, good learned person, or learned person, one who has learned Sat Tattva. Sataha Vidwan Sat Vidwan or San Vidwan Sat Vidwan. Both ways. In short, Sadguru. And what is the meaning of Sadguru?
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate.